Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
I wanted to hop on stream right now and just record something really quick. I actually have a graduation I'm going to go to this evening, so my time is limited. So I kind of had like a little window here where I could jump on and put my opinions out there about what I was thinking about today's news between Stadia and obviously Bungie's big reveal for the future of Destiny 2. So while I got some great feedback from someone on Twitter just now asking about my apparent flip-flopping on the way I feel about Destiny, I'm going to address that in a little bit. But first, I want to kind of talk about Stadia. So Google came out today and kind of laid out the roadmap for Stadia, pricing, when it's going to launch, things like that. So we can expect Stadia to come out this November, and they put the pricing on it. You can get that starter pack for $130. That's going to allow you to play at 4K. It comes with the Chromecast Ultra. It's going to come with the controller. Destiny 2 Collector's Edition, I believe it's called, or Complete Edition, something like that, is included with this. And there will be a multitude of games that come in that 3-month subscription. There will also be a buddy pass where you can pass that subscription on to a friend as well. I'm looking at it right now as I'm talking on stream, and it's saying the Stadia's Founder Edition comes with a free 3-month Stadia Pro subscription, unlocking access to an expanded library of free games, starting with Destiny 2 The Collection, including the Shadowkeep and Forsaken expansions with annual passes, Curse of Osiris, and Warmind. So that's actually a pretty good deal for the Destiny 2 thing. You're basically getting everything along with the new expansion included. So that's great. That's really good to see that you're going to get that as a part of that Founders Pack. Not to mention you're going to get that Chromecast and you're going to get that controller. So when you add all that up along with the 3-month subscription, you're getting a pretty good value for that $130. So I'm actually pretty fine with that. That's actually pretty good. That is a nice starter way to get into Stadia, test drive it, see if it's something you like. Now here words get interesting. So the standard Stadia Pro Founders Edition, or just the standard, how much it is monthly, I should say, it's going to be $9.99 a month, $10 a month. Hey, that's good. Netflix, you know, Disney Plus, Hulu, things like that, WWE Network, Spotify, a lot of these things hover around that $9.99 price point. Game Pass, as an example, $9.99 a month. What do you get with that? Obviously, you get access to Stadia. You can get resolution up to 4K, 60 frames per second, 5.1 surround sound. You can buy games whenever you want. And there will be some additional free games that are included with this, like I said, including Destiny 2. The rest of the free games are TBD. Sorry, took a little bit of drink of water there. So you also get Stadia Pro exclusive discounts on select games. Now, Stadia Base, which is coming next year, is free, and you will get a resolution up to 1080p, 60 frames per second, stereo sound. Yes, you can, of course, buy games whenever you want. You will not get any additional games for free, and Stadia Pro exclusive discounts are a no. So here's where it gets interesting for me when it comes to Stadia. So we can argue the bandwidth, will it actually work, all that kind of stuff. You guys know my opinion on that. Let's just for pretend say it works the way it is intended to work. Here's my problem. The free version of it at 1080p is fine. My issue is the pro version, which is $10 a month, which gives you the 4K. What are those free games that you're getting in the subscription? Because I think that is significant. What am I getting? I highly doubt you're going to be getting a lot of day one release games as a part of that free package. You're going to get some older games that are going to get shuffled in there, which is great. But when it comes to getting brand new games, you're still going to have to buy them at $60 a clip. I know there's going to be exclusive deals, things like that, but I don't know, man. As much as I get that cloud gaming is the future and that's where all the stuff is headed, I see it as a supplement, not as a primary way to play your games. I'm just still not convinced of that yet at all. And the thing that I have with Stadia is if it was 10 bucks a month and they were including some of the latest and greatest, obviously Stadia is eventually going to have some exclusive titles and some day and date release third-party titles in that 10 bucks a month, even if it was 15 bucks a month, I'd be a little more on board with a subscription service because we live in an era of subscriptions now. So I'm fine with that. But the problem is when I had to actually purchase digital games for a streaming service, what if Stadia goes away in 3 years, which isn't a crazy thing to say. Google folds up shop, store is gone. All these games I've bought over the past 3 years, there is no way for me to go back and play them. Now, you could argue, well, that could happen on Xbox, PlayStation, whatever, because these are digital kind of games. But at least you have a physical console. At least if Xbox were to get out of the game 3 years from now, they could say, you know what? You got that console. It can play these games. You can download them all onto your hard drive and we'll basically provide some kind of unlock thing, unlock digital unlock so they work. So you can continue to play the games that you have purchased and you own. With a streaming only service, you don't have that option. Or again, PC gaming. Again, if Steam goes away tomorrow, but I bought all these games from Steam, they could provide some kind of unlock. I could have them all downloaded on my hard drive. I could still play these games offline, potentially. Obviously, multiplayer games are a different story depending on the publisher, etc. But the point is, with a cloud streaming service, you don't have that option. I'm not willing to give Google my $60 for Cyberpunk 2077. That's not going to happen. I'm going to buy it on a via Steam, GOG, or on the Xbox or PlayStation or something like that. I'm not going to make Stadia my primary gaming service. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to basically say, invest in us, be the primary way that you play games. Now, do I believe in the technology of, I can obviously play this on a Chromecast Ultra on my TV. I'll be able to play this through a Chrome browser. You know, eventually this will be on all the mobile devices. I know iPhone isn't available right away, but eventually you're going to be able to play Stadia in all these places. And that is fantastic as a supplement. But as the primary way, hell no. I'm not giving you my money. If I get subscriptions in, that's fine. I've been paying for that investment, but I have no true ownership of those items, of those games. That's fine. But no, I can't see, like I said, the free version of it, the fact that you can, if you so choose, want to spend money on a Stadia game, you can stream it for free via 1080p. That's fantastic. I'm just not so sure about the pro service, despite it being 4K and all that. This is why I think ultimately, whatever we find out with Xbox coming up here on Sunday, when they unveil Project X Cloud, and I'm sure they're going to have details on their roadmap, pricing, etc., it is going to be the more viable thing. Because here's the advantage that Xbox has. Number one, Xbox has been making exclusive games for almost 20 years now. They have that advantage. So we know they have a back catalog that's going to be available. They have Game Pass, which they've already guaranteed us that, guess what? All of our exclusive games, you're getting them all day and date when it comes out, right? Even if I didn't want to do Game Pass and I wanted to purchase my games from Microsoft, from Xbox, let's just say Halo Infinite, I will give them my $60 because, like I said before, I have a console to fall back on. I have a PC to fall back on. I have an avenue to provide an offline option available. I don't have to rely on Project X Cloud to be my primary way to play. But Project X Cloud can be a nice supplement to my primary gaming. I can, if I'm on the bus, I'm on the train, I can pull up my iPhone. Oh, let me go check something real quick on Destiny. Boom, 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 done. Or, ooh, I want to check this real thing on Gears. Or, oh, let me make sure I signed up for this racing event coming tomorrow night on Forza Horizon. Whatever the case may be, I'll be able to do that. And I will be able to do some gaming via Project X Cloud. Sure, you know, when I'm in a pinch or wherever. But it's not what I'm going to rely on to play all of my top tier AAA games. And that to me is the ultimate problem with Stadia. That's why I can't just 100% invest into it even at this price, which I, like I said, the free tier is reasonable, but I'm not going to give you my $60. I'm just not. I don't see that. And we will see with the games that are coming in the pro subscription that you're going to be able to get. If there's some day and date stuff that's worthwhile, I will change my opinion on that. But as it stands right now, I just don't feel like I can rely on that. So I'm even looking right now at some of the games that will be available for purchase on Stadia. Dragon Ball Universe 2, Doom Eternal, Wolfenstein Youngblood, Destiny 2, Power Rangers, Baldur's Gate 3. Obviously, they showed that off today. That's great. Metro Exodus, Thumper, Samurai Showdown, Football Manager 2020, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Obviously, looking forward to that. Borderlands 3 is going to be on there. You know, Tomb Raider Trilogy, on down the line. There are some fantastic third-party titles that will be available on Stadia. Now, the thing that Google has to do to convince me is stay around, invest in this, back it, show me that the games that you're going to develop exclusively for Stadia matter enough that, you know what, I got to freaking play that. Then I'm going to start buying your games. Until I see, and this isn't going to happen tomorrow. This is going to happen this year, next year. This will be a couple years down the road. But when I look up in 2023, I still want to see that Stadia is around and is a viable option. Maybe I change my mind. Obviously, technology always is going to get better. Bandwidth is going to get better. Maybe the things that I'm saying here in June of 2019 will look myopic and idiotic, you know, in June of 2022. But we will see. So I think that's enough on Stadia.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Let's just go ahead and jump into Destiny 2. They obviously, Bungie, had a huge reveal today, which made me very happy. But I want to start it off this way. And it was a tweet that I got right before I went live. And I actually really appreciate this because I like people challenging me on my opinion. I really do. So, Salami, I hope I'm saying that right. I don't say your name wrong, brother. But he says to me, or she, I'm not sure, says to me, I'm confused with the newly found Destiny hype. Episode 885 of Gamertag Radio, you went on about the issues with Destiny 2 raids and how Destiny 2 is long in the tooth, minor tweaks, rinse and repeaty. Simply adding cross-play, cross-save is enough to revitalize 400 hours of time invested with Destiny? I'm assuming you're saying you have 400 hours because I know I'm probably pushing like 2,000 hours in Destiny. So appreciate that feedback. And it's a combination of things, actually, on why I'm excited about it. Yes, the cross-save thing is something I've desperately wanted for Destiny 2 damn near since the beginning from Destiny 1. Because, you know, while I love playing with all my son and all my friends on PlayStation 4, I have friends on Xbox, I have friends on PC as well. I would like to play with them. And who knows, maybe I play with people on Stadia. We'll see. So that's one good thing. But what has me excited isn't just simply that announcement. It is, of course, the doorbell rings and my dogs are going to bark. Watch. Here it comes. What has me excited is the fact that we got that Vidoc and we saw the roadmap for what the future of Destiny is going to be. We're seeing what an independent Bungie who is making all their decisions is going to have on Destiny. That's what has me excited. As an example, Armor 2.0 that's going to eventually come here with the new expansion pack. They're now, it's not true transmog. It's very similar to the Division in that I could have one piece of gear that, or one piece of armor that has some great mods on it, but I love wearing this other one. I'll be able, and who knows what the economy is going to be on this just yet, but I'll be able to transfer some of those mods over to the gear that I like to wear. So in other words, you're going to be able to truly get your fashion show going on with Destiny and keep the power fantasy at the same time and be able to truly start tweaking your builds to what you want them to be. I mean, the biggest thing that Luke Smith and Mark Noseworthy said when they initially came out to talk that got me excited was they're not going to run away from the fact that this is now an MMORPG, and they're really going to start leaning on that fact and leaning on the fact that, you know what? Let's be a freaking RPG. That's what has me excited about Destiny. You know what I mean? It's they're going to make this game. Sure, they're going to want the casual audience to still play and all that, but they're making this game for the people like me who have been dedicated to this franchise, quite honestly, since I first laid eyes on it in 2013, you know, and I've put in so many hours playing this game that, you know, they're making the game that the hardcore fans have been asking for. But at the same time, what they're also doing with now the Destiny first, was it Destiny 2 First Light, I believe they're calling it, where they're going to take that first year of content for Destiny 2 and they're going to make it free to play. So what that will do is that's going to allow anyone that's curious about Destiny, you're able to jump in for free and start playing the game. You can start playing a game. You can start doing raids, strikes, nightfalls, gambit. All that year one content will be available to you. But at the same time, you will still be able to interact in the same spaces of the people that have bought the next expansions. You know what I mean? So when this new, I keep wanting to call it Shadowfall. Gosh darn it. Why do I keep wanting to call it Shadowfall? Let me get the right name on this before I say something really dumb. Where is it? Shadowkeep. Sorry. So the new expansion that's coming this September is called Shadowkeep. And basically what they're basically saying is you don't have to buy Shadowkeep. No one will force you to buy Shadowkeep. What will happen is you will get that free to play version of Destiny 2, you know, the first light version of it, and that new moon space that opens up for Shadowkeep, you'll be able to go there. You'll be able to do public events. You'll be able to interact with things in that new play space, but you won't be able to do any of the new missions that are there. You won't be able to do the raid, things like that, the new dungeon that's going to open up. These are the things that are going to be gated behind you actually paying for that expansion pack. And if you deem, hey, the things I've played so far are good enough, now you invest in playing that new expansion pack. And then there's going to be seasons that are now coming where you're not going to be forced to purchase every season. You won't have to purchase a whole annual pass if you so choose. So the example of this is it would be this. Let's say, so season 8, it would be the next season. You're playing season 8. You look at what's coming for season 9. That doesn't look good to you. Guess what? Don't buy it. You don't have to buy it. No one's forcing you to buy it. But then when season 10 comes, you'll be able to buy season 10 and continue on with your journey. It's up to you. It now becomes a la carte when the new content comes out. So it's allowing people to choose the way they want to play Destiny versus being forced into buying all these expansion packs and new seasons and DLC and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to do that unless you so choose, unless there's a piece of content in that new season that's coming that's going to make you want to play. So again, if you're a raider, like I love to raid, if the raid's in that new season, guess what? I'm going to buy that new season. But if I saw something like Season of the Drifter, as an example, that didn't have a raid in it, that, well, it eventually did have a dungeon, but we didn't know, it was a surprise, I probably wouldn't have bought that because it didn't appeal enough to me, as an example. And going back to the original tweet, absolutely, if we saw what Bungie had been doing leading up to this, the first half of this year, I was not happy with what I was seeing, because PvP is a mess right now. And they did address that. They know they need to go back to the drawing board on that and fix PvP before they ever bring trials or any of the advanced in-game type of stuff for PvP action back for Destiny. So good, fix it. When you come up with your solution, we'll judge it accordingly. I was not happy initially with the way I thought they were going to do this world first raid. They proved me wrong. I admitted I was wrong on that. I actually enjoyed them opening up day one, putting the power caps in there. So it basically allowed anyone that didn't want to participate on Tuesday night or Tuesday afternoon could do it. And we saw the result of that, had the world's first. It was a great challenge. That's fantastic. I just think when I look at, and I'll just talk about Luke Smith specifically, when I listen to Luke talk about Destiny, he freaking cares about it. He really does. They've obviously put him in a position now where he really gets to shape the focus of where this franchise is going to go moving forward. And that's fantastic, because obviously Luke has World of Warcraft roots, you know, way back in the day in his one-up days, all that kind of stuff. And you're slowly starting to see some of that stuff creep into Destiny, but in a good way. And I'm excited for that, because I want Destiny to be challenging. I also want it to not be intimidating to someone who has not invested years upon years and hours upon hours into Destiny to actually jump in at some point and start experiencing it for themselves. And that's what they're trying to do. Is it going to be perfect when Shadowkeep comes out in September? No, of course not. It will not be. Guarantee you will be bitching and moaning about something by November or December. But I'm kind of looking at the long game for this. I'm looking at whatever Destiny 3 is going to be, because we don't even know if it's going to be called Destiny 3 at this point. I just think they're buying time. I think there was like, you know what? Let's do a soft reboot right here, right now. Let's start doing things that are going to get people prepared for what we really want to do when we get to Destiny 3. And that's what I think, if you just kind of look at the timeline, what the next, I don't know, 16 to 18 months are going to be for Destiny 2. It's all about getting us prepared for Destiny 3, having a more RPG experience, having a more hardcore experience, having these things, these raids, these dungeons, fixing the PvP, bringing trials back, having factions actually matter in the game, you know, and making it inclusive for everyone to play and not forcing you to spend a freaking dime to at least understand what the game is going to be about. And I think that's the smartest thing that they did here, was make Destiny free to play. Like, look, first hit's free kind of thing, right? Like, we're going to give you a good bit of content for free. Try it out. If you like it, if you see your buddies running around doing some cool shit that you want to do too, but it's behind the expansion pack, well, guess what? Now go pay the money for the expansion pack and go do it. So I'm excited for the future of it. I really am. I hope that answers the question on why I have excitement for it now. But, you know, it's a franchise that has had its ups and downs, its highs, its lows. You know, I personally did stop playing for a little bit. I really just jumped in and invested into the Division 2. And that game is not perfect either. It has its highs and lows as well. But what I've realized by doing that is I just freaking love these kind of games. I just do. I love these co-op games that have loot. Is it going to force me to tinker with my builds? You're going to have these raids that are going to challenge you, push you to the actual limit of, you know, problem solving, you know, mechanics, things like that. It is a lot of fun to do these kind of games. And I'm happy that Destiny is getting to where I personally have wanted it to be over the past few years. And God, I didn't even really talk a lot about the cross save stuff. So here's the fantastic part about all of this for me. And obviously there was speculation up until the last minute if PlayStation was going to be on board with this. It sounds like Bungie went to bat and got the deal done right at the buzzer. But we're going to have cross saves now, which is something I've been saying the past few years of, let's get cross saves into Destiny. So if, like, I've been playing on PlayStation 4 since the beginning, since 2014 with Destiny 1, but I want to play on a PC. I would love to play on a PC, but guess what? I don't really want to do the freaking grind. And it was funny. I made up my mind a couple weeks ago. You know what? F it. Scorch the earth. I'm just going to start over on PC. I don't care. And I'm just going to move forward with Destiny on PC. Now I don't have to do that. And that's freaking great. So all that progress, all the weapons, all the things that I've grinded for over the past 5 years, I get to keep, bring with me over the PC. But then guess what? I can go back over to PlayStation 4. I can hop on the Xbox now and go to state. I can do whatever the hell I want. That is great. I know, you know, cross save, you know, is kind of a stopgap. Eventually, we probably want to see some kind of cross play come into effect. But maybe that doesn't happen. I don't know. If it doesn't, this is at least at a minimum what you can expect for that. And of course, I know there's been some confusion, and I hope the TWAB is about to come out. It may come out. I even asked Cosmo and DMG on Twitter if they could clarify this, how the content purchases is going to work. I understand it this way, and I could be completely wrong. You have to purchase the expansion on every platform you want to play, at least the standard edition. So Xbox, PC, PlayStation 4, Stadia. If you buy the deluxe edition on any one of those platforms, that gives you all the seasons as well for this year, right? For that, this year of Destiny, whatever you want to call it. So if you do that, then, like, let's say I bought the deluxe edition on PC. Now, when I hop on PlayStation 4, I only have to purchase the standard edition of the expansion, and I'll get all the seasons there too. That's how I understand it. I could be completely wrong. Hopefully this gets clarified here when the TWAB comes out and we can move forward from there. But overall, man, it is an exciting freaking time for gaming. It really is. And we're not even at the next generation yet, which makes it even sweeter. You know, E3 is going to start here in a couple days. Danny and Pete We'll be out here in LA. I'm going to meet up with them Saturday. We're going to hang out Sunday. We're going to go to Xbox press conference, experience everything that Microsoft has to talk about. Bethesda has theirs later that night, Ubisoft the day after, and then just everything's going to explode. Unfortunately, I won't be able to spend all my time at E3 this year because I have other commitments, but I'm going to be able to sneak in a little bit. I've said this a million times already, and I even tweeted it at him. I booked the last Cyberpunk 2077 appointment at E3 on Thursday, and by hella high water, I will be there. I'm going to make it. I have to make it. That is my game of the show without question. I have to see what CD Projekt Red is doing. Hopefully, they at least give us some kind of launch window. I'm speculating it'll be spring 2020, but I'm ready for that game, man. I really am. It's just obviously another game that's going to add to the plate of everything, but I'm excited to see what CD Projekt Red is going to do with Cyberpunk. And, you know, it's not the only game I'm excited for. I'm excited for Gears. I'm excited to see what this new Watch Dogs Legion is going to be. I'm excited to see more about Ghost Recon. The Avengers game, obviously, is coming. Mario Maker 2, Luigi's Mansion. I mean, the list goes on and on. Final Fantasy Remake. All this stuff is coming that we're going to be able to see at E3 this year. And I'm very excited to see it. But I just have to say, for me personally, it was great to see what Bungie did today, because for me, that studio has always had a special place in my heart. Some of the best gaming moments I've ever had in my entire life was because of Bungie. And that goes all the way back to Halo CE, all the way to where we are here today with Destiny 2. I can't say it enough. That's why when I had the opportunity go to that studio a few years ago, it was truly an honor. And it's truly been an honor to be able to interact with some of the employees there that are making these games and things like that. But to see them for what I expect them, I feel like they're writing the ship of what Destiny should be from what we always expected it to be going back into 2013. I think the future is really bright. So I don't know. I'm happy about today's news. Like I said, Stadia, I may not be the biggest cheerleader of it right now, but I got a feeling Microsoft is going to hit a home run with theirs on Sunday, because like I said, it's all about choice and it being a supplement to your primary gaming. The thing that Microsoft is going to have to hit with xCloud is how they price it. There needs to be some type of free tier. I would expect that they'll have a pro tier. Maybe it's tied into Game Pass Ultimate, something like that. But the combination of them doing Game Pass now on console, PC, xCloud is coming. They got the new studios that are working, that are working on all these games. I really think we're going to see something special on Sunday. I do. And I know if Danny's lurking in the chat or not, but shout out to Danny. If they announce the partnership with the Switch, he will literally pass out in the press conference. I have the ultimate faith that we will be calling the paramedics to come get Danny out of the press conference if they do have some kind of Switch collaboration with Game Pass, Banjo-Kazooie, or, you know, Cuphead 2 comes to Switch, whatever the case may be. Danny's going to lose his freaking mind. But yeah, so I'm looking at the time right now. I probably need to go ahead and get out of here. Like I said, I got a graduation I'm going to go to. But like I said, I just wanted to hop on here. Just wanted to chat, do a quick little stream. We might turn this to a podcast or something. I don't know. We'll see. But this is fun. Like I said last week, I definitely want to do more of these where I just get on stream and just run my mouth and talk about gaming topics, things like that. So until the next time, which I think will be at E3, I guarantee you we will do a post Xbox reaction. I'm hoping and praying we do another Cyberpunk roundtable Thursday night. I hope and pray I can make it to that. But should be this weekend. You guys will hear from all three of us again. But until then, thank you guys for hanging out. I truly appreciate it. You know, at Vicious696 on Twitter, hit me up. Let me know what you guys think of me doing these streams. I really appreciate it. This will probably be on my YouTube channel as I chill myself out right now. But till next time, thank you guys for hanging out. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.